You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Tuesday. We are back and doing it. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Where it is your team every day. I'm your man on the ground, Isaiah Hole, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. And we've got a couple things to get into. So the first and foremost thing is obviously the news of Jesse Minter interviewing for the Philadelphia Eagles, which could throw a whole wrench into the whole situations that we've been talking about for the last couple months. But we will see. There are other candidates out there. I will promise you that I will not remember their names, especially in the NFL. But nonetheless, we'll get into that. We'll get into a little bit of PFF's little mock draft with Will Johnson coming in at number 10. If you're not aware of what I'm saying and you're like, wait, what? They did a draft as if every single college football player was eligible. Didn't matter of status as far as if they actually could be in the draft. But they made a mock draft for this year, and they put Will Johnson at number 10 overall. So we'll get into that, and then we'll see where we go for segment three from there. Let the conversation go on as it is. I want to give a shout-out to Rick Lempert, just because you've been a very staunch and wonderful supporter and listener, and I appreciate you. And I just wanted to give you that shout-out on air. And that also goes for a lot of the others. I mean, I can throw out there Michael Wolf, my brother in metal, and Mark Zimke, Mark Z, and all of you who I'm in regular dialogue with about the podcast. So I thank you and I appreciate you. Let's get into the news from this morning. Mike, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, G. Garofalo, I believe. He reported that Jesse Minter has indeed interviewed for the Philadelphia Eagles open defensive coordinator job, since the existing one left for, I believe, was the Arizona Cardinals. Again, I'm not well-versed in the NFL, and me being well-versed in that doesn't really serve anybody. So it is what it is. But nonetheless, they do have that open position, and they interviewed him amongst others. I don't think that necessarily means, like, they've interviewed several others, including some who have already got ties to Nick Sirianni, the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. And I the way that I look at this is, hey, if they call you, answer. You don't just say, hey, no. You know, like, and obviously, if offered, I do think that he would probably take it, right? Because it's the NFL. Being a defensive coordinator in the NFL compared to being a defensive coordinator at a high level college, it's not just any NFL defensive coordinator job. It's the one that went to the Super Bowl and was the runner up in the Super Bowl. But that said, I mean, there are others, I think, that are probably more likely to get the job. So I wouldn't press the panic button as of yet. We start hearing his second interviews and guys, maybe that, like the one I mentioned, whose name you couldn't put a gun to my head and have me remember what his name was that has the previous ties to Nick Sirianni. That one is the one that makes sense to me. Someone who's already in the NFL probably makes sense to me, but they are doing their due diligence. Because this isn't like Mike McDonald, who already had, you know, coached at Baltimore, coming back to Baltimore after a 1 year absence. He was heir apparent to Wink Martindale anyway, was given on a loan to Jim Harbaugh and the University of Michigan, and then they received him back. You know, that's just kind of how that worked. By the way, apologies. At the beginning of every podcast, you can hear Zuri doing all kinds of things, going and getting a drink of water, shaking, doing all kinds of stuff, because she'll just be laying down, and at the moment that I get up and start sitting here, she's just like, oh, I apparently need to be very active. And if you're watching on video, you can kind of see me petting her under the desk right now. I digress. But I think with Jesse Minter, though, he does, I believe, have aspirations to go higher in his career, just like anyone, right? And I think that when a Super Bowl runner-up calls you, you do everything, right? Because if nothing else, that's a feather in your cap and you're not burning a bridge. So I think that that's the right move for him. But yes, it's very disheartening to hear, given where you're at, if you're, you know, hoping to run everything back. That becomes annoying, to say the least. So it could potentially blow everything up for Michigan a little bit, because it was one thing to lose Mike McDonald, and then, but they had a backup plan and they were able to exercise that. I mean, Jesse Minter was a strong candidate, 1B to Mike McDonald's 1A, to come here in the first place to run the system that he's running. So it's a little bit different because now you don't have that necessarily. Now there are options, certainly, if Minter ends up going to the NFL. But I, again, don't press that panic button yet. There's certainly some other avenues you can go down. We're going to continue talking about this. This is how we're going to do it. I feel like I have more to talk about. I was kind of stretching that part out there just for a minute. Literally 1 minute in order to get to the point where we move on. But we're going to continue talking about it. What does it mean for Michigan? Where does Michigan go if there are any of those issues, and where he actually does depart? And then we'll get to the Will Johnson stuff. I think that'll put us right around, I want to say, like 22 minutes today. But it seems like when I say, like, oh, we're going to talk for like 22 minutes, we go for full 30. If I'm like, yeah, I got 30 minutes to talk, I'm like, okay, and ends up being like 15 minutes. And I'm like, ooh, well, let's talk about Michigan's 2022 season again. Anyway, we're going to move on. Before we do that, if you're looking for a delicious treat but don't want all the fat and calories, and you got to try a Built Bar. We just got through the holidays. I know my goal is to eat a little healthier this year. If you're like me and you want to eat healthier but don't want to compromise taste, then man, I've got just the thing for you. You got to try Built. With Built, healthy is actually tasty. Seriously, they're so delicious you won't think they're good for you. Perfect for your New Year's resolution. What makes Built bars so good? Well, for starters, they're all covered in 100% real chocolate. That's right, real chocolate. And they come in unbelievable flavors like churro, peanut butter brownie, coconut almond. I'm not sure how Built does it, but these bars taste like a candy bar while maintaining amazing macros. And what's even better is that they are healthy. Only 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and a whopping 17 grams of protein. Yeah, I double those up all the time. You actually don't need to wait around to get a box. For years, we've been talking about ordering your Built bars at Built.com. But now you can get them at your local Walmart or Sam's Club. That's right. You can head into your nearest Walmart today, walk to the pharmacy section, grab a box of 4 of cookies or cream, double chocolate or coconut puffs. Or if you're close to Sam's Club, run in and grab a 13-bar box with our hit flavors, brownie batter and churro. You can thank me later. All right, let's continue this Jesse Minter discussion. So what happens if Michigan does in fact have the unenviable position of having to replace his defensive coordinator yet again for the third time in 3 years? Because now you've got to make a decision, right? You aren't just in a situation where it's like, all right, bring up the next dude. That maybe you are. Maybe you decide to go with Steve Klingscale, he's been on staff under both Mike McDonald and Jesse Minter. And you sit there and say, okay, he's been a defensive coordinator before. I believe it was on an interim basis at Cincinnati. He's got that experience. He's a co-defensive coordinator at Michigan as far as title. And you can say, I'm going to elevate him, and we'll see how this goes. The only thing about doing that is then you're either having to hire someone else to work with the secondary, or you're keeping him on and then doing something different there. And that would come at the cost of what he is already currently doing with the defensive pass game, which has been phenomenal. So you really don't want to lose that. You really don't want to shake things up any more than they've been shaken up at this point. So that is option A. Option B is you just hired in someone who's been a defensive coordinator who is familiar with your systems overall, but not with the scheme. And that's Chris Partridge, the current linebackers coach, who just came from Ole Miss via the University of Michigan. So that would be option B. You know, you keep Steve Klingscale as co-defensive coordinator, but then the question when you have Chris Partridge in that is, do you get him to run the same system you have already been running, or do you switch it up? Considering that Michigan enters the season, at least at this point, they enter spring ball as the preseason SP plus number four defense in the country, certainly that could take a hit because suddenly you could be changing things up. Now, that could be beneficial if you have someone, whether it's one of the aforementioned two or you go for an outside hire, that takes a look at the personnel and says, you know what, with what we have right here, we can implement this and it's going to work the best for us. The problem is Jesse Minter had an even better performance for Michigan against Ohio State. Awful against TCU, but that's really the only team that had any kind of offensive success on Michigan. And 51 of their, out of their 51 points, 14 came via Michigan's offense. So it was bad, but it was a high-powered offense that still managed to score 37 points, which doesn't feel quite as bad as 51. Things could be shored up, and you feel like year three of the defense, even more so year two of Jesse Minter. Making $1.3 million at the moment could certainly be given more to be like, hey, dude, come on. But how much money would entice him to stick around? And does Michigan even pony that up? That's the question. So now you're just in a conundrum a little bit while you wait. And spring ball's going, started already. So you don't want to upset everything at this point. But here is the good news, and it's not necessarily going to be a pillow that you're going to want to lay your head on. This is the type of thing that is going to happen when you are in really truly running an elite program, right? Like your coaches are going to be desired by others, and especially by the NFL. This is the sign of a healthy program. Todd Monken just left Georgia, right? Just like what? Like a week ago? But like a lot of these coaches, We don't necessarily see it at every school. Alabama has long been, I mean, we see Alabama coaches become head coaches, and then Alabama brings in its rehab case. That's generally what we have seen. But this is generally how it works. You've got the guy that's really doing really well for you. NFL is going to come calling, or another college program is going to be like, you, head coach, come on. Under Jim Harbaugh, that's happened quite a bit, right? There have been a couple instances, of course, where guys have been let go. But for the most part, I mean, DJ Durkin left Michigan to be the head coach at Maryland. And Mike McDonald departed to be the defensive coordinator at the Baltimore Ravens. Chris Partridge departed to get an upgraded position at Ole Miss. Brian Smith left to become the defensive coordinator at Rice. Generally, I mean, there are certainly situations where guys are somewhat pushed out. Pep Hamilton, Tim Drevno. I don't know if Greg Fry was necessarily pushed out. I never got word on that, but I mean, he went to his alma mater, so that was not at all surprising, going back to Florida State. But nonetheless, I mean, for the most part, guys have departed when they've gotten upgrades. I'll mention Greg Madison. That's not really an upgrade. I guess it was because he went from defensive line to defensive coordinator along with Brian Halfley, but still don't understand that one. Just kind of seemed like he wanted to touch all the bases. Notre Dame, Michigan State. I don't think he was at Michigan State. He was at Notre Dame. Ed Warner was at Michigan State. There have been very, Ed Warner's is one of the exceptions, right? Which still seems crazy because he was very successful, but coming off of a 2020 season, things had to change. So, that's a quality problem to have for Michigan. But now, you're just going to be sitting there waiting and wondering, is he going to stay or is he going to go? It's not going to be completely up to him. And if he does go, where do you go from there? Again, I implore you, don't press the panic button. I would imagine this is not going to be, that this is going to be one of the NFL guys already currently in the NFL. Jesse Minter does have the NFL experience having coached the Baltimore Ravens. However, I do feel like they'll probably stick with someone closer in Nick Sirianni's circle. And then they will go from there and everything will be fine, at least for this year. But if that happens, you better have your eyes on next year because you're not going to be able to retain for very long. Heck, it might be time to get Jay Harbaugh and say, how do you feel about being a defensive coordinator? He's done an amazing job at every position he's been. He could be that guy. All right. Let's talk about this draft that PFF put out, mock draft. Will Johnson at number 10 overall. Very interesting. Before we do that, listen, as a small business owner or hiring manager, you know that success in 2023 all depends on the team members you surround yourself with. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. With LinkedIn Jobs, you can hire qualified candidates more efficiently by matching open roles with the people who have the skills, values, and experiences to help you achieve your goals. LinkedIn Jobs helps you quickly attract qualified candidates to your open jobs with targeting tools. They go beyond resume data by using insights from your job posts, company, and their 875 million member profiles to put your post in front of the most qualified candidates. Identify the most qualified candidates on LinkedIn Jobs and connect with them fast and for free. LinkedIn Jobs makes it easy to screen and rate applicants based on your job qualifications all on one platform. Just like Michigan needed to find the right team members and needs to continue to do so from, you know, going from 2022 into 2023, so do you when you are trying to find your next candidate for your job. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedoncollege. That's linkedin.com/lockedoncollege to post your job for free. Terms and conditions do apply. All right, I'm kind of surprised that had that much to say about it, but let's get into this Will Johnson stuff. I think it's rad, as the kids say. It's funny, I say as the kids say. Rad feels like something that, like, was a word that we said. I was like 6 in the 80s, you know. Well, probably more radical, but rad too, you know. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles were a thing. So, Will Johnson is so highly thought of by PFF that he went number 10 overall in their, we're pretending as if everyone's eligible, here's who would be drafted. That is wild. He's the only Michigan Wolverine to go in the round of 32, makes it even more wild because you've got J.J. McCarthy, who they see as their number 8 returning quarterback. Blake Corum, who they see as the number 1 running back. There were no running backs included on that list, if I recall correctly. Donovan Edwards, who's could be, you know, running back receiver type. Chris Jenkins was like the number 4 defensive tackle in the returning list. So, and all of this to say, and I know I mentioned this the other day, Will Johnson really only had a half season's worth of tape, right? Like, of like actual, like out there being a starter. Rutgers game forward. We're talking November 5th forward. That's a month and 2 games, 6 games out of 14. because the other games in which he appeared, he might have had some snaps here and there. Now I'm curious. Let's see. I don't have PFF. Well, I do have PFF pulled up, but I'm not signed in. So let's take a look. Let's take a gander real fast about how many of snaps that he ended up having outside of that. Because I would bet you that it was, oops, I'm in NFL. I would bet you that it is an amazing shift. All right, here we go. Snaps by position. So week 10 is what I'm starting to talk about here, I believe. And yes, he had 47 snaps, was as high in a game before that Rutgers game. And that was against Hawaii, in which got to play like a whole half, you know? But starting from the Rutgers game, he went 52, 40, 50, 78 against Ohio State. 66 in the conference championship game, 55 in the playoff. But otherwise, it was 28. Again, blowout situation, mostly second half. Certainly moments in that season opener where I felt like he got abused a little bit. The sole touchdown in that game. What was that? Was it the sole touchdown? But there was the passing touchdown that he was burned on. That was like a welcome to college moment against Colorado State. 47 against Hawaii, 15 against UConn. Those are the first three. 21 against Maryland. You felt like, especially late when Maryland had its backup quarterback in, Billy, what have you, that he was targeting Will Johnson. Only 16 snaps at Iowa, 28 snaps the following week. That would have been at Indiana. 32 snaps against Penn State, 24 against Michigan State. So he clearly was getting worked in because they didn't really do garbage time, especially in like the Michigan State game. Really started working in rotation. But really, I mean, it was four games plus two. And that's when he started to finally really come onto the scene. So that is impressive that basically the way it looks is like, hey, man, you had six games at the college level, but we think you're good enough to be a top 10 overall pick. Think about top 10 overall picks that Michigan has had. Haven't had a ton in recent memory, right? Devin Bush was number 10 in 2018 or 2019. Think about that. They are essentially saying, Will Johnson, you're as qualified as Devin Bush and more qualified than Rashawn Gary. Not as qualified as Aiden Hutchinson, number 2 overall. More qualified than Kwity Paye. More qualified than Taco Charlton and Jabril Peppers and all of these different guys that Michigan has had that have gone that high. And you've played essentially in six games. You've got two more years of eligibility. Think about how scary that could be for opposing passing offenses. This is why it's like especially absurd to think like, hey, yo, Ohio State, you're just going to plug in a quarterback and it's going to be all good. Now, granted, you better pair him with someone else on the other side. I will say this, talking to one person who would know something thinks that that other person is going to be a Marion Walker. So if that ends up being the duo, you would at least need a Marion Walker to be able to hold his own if that's who it is. But you got at least 2 years more of watching this dude do his thing. And he'll give up something, probably. But could Will Johnson end up being the best Michigan cornerback of all of these that have come through here? I mean, he was a 5-star. None of these other guys were. So it's certainly a possibility, and it's exciting to think about. Anyway, that's going to do it for us today. We will see what happens tomorrow in this grand thing that we continue to call the offseason. Yes, it's still the offseason because we don't really know anything about spring practice yet other than Cam Calhoun and maybe a couple things from that little video that Michigan released. And maybe that's what we'll do. If they release like another video, we'll do an overreaction to everything that we have gleaned from there. I don't know. All right. Thanks for watching. Thank you for listening. We'll be back on Wednesday. Peace.